What an amazing career he had. And, you know, we were just talking about this a couple of minutes ago, that only one person that we are aware of was in the broadcast business longer than Orion Samuelson, and that was the one and only Vin Scully. So pretty elite company. As we welcome in this morning, he's retired now, longtime farm broadcaster Orion Samuelson. Orion, good morning. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing fine because the sun is shining and the temperature is above freezing, and it's about time because I have to go back quite a few years to remember a colder winter than this one has been.
Yeah, and even for you growing up in Wisconsin, I'm guessing you guys, even up in the Chicago area, probably got more snow than we did here, but it was just so annoying. We'd get a little bit, and then we'd get a little bit more and a little bit more, and it just got to the point where it was pretty annoying, but you probably got a bit more than we did, though.
Yeah, I think we did. I think as I look out at my backyard here in Huntley, Illinois, northwest of Chicago, I'm probably looking at about 18 inches on the ground right now. And finally, I think it's going to start melting away.
Yeah, it's good to see that part, that's for sure, in the sunshine and warmer temperatures. Yeah, it's been a while since we had had a winter like this, that's for sure. Well, Orion, decided to call it a career after quite some time. 60 years is quite a while to do anything, let alone the same type of job. And I guess as far as the longevity, I mean, is it just something you just at some point hadn't really thought about giving up? It was just what you did?
Well, true, and I finally decided I wanted to sleep in past 2:45 in the morning because I did that for about 40 years to make the trip from Huntley, Illinois, to our studios in downtown Chicago, and so I decided, yeah, maybe I want to sleep in now and then, and frankly, I am enjoying it, but I'm also missing it because it's such an interesting situation for agriculture right now, and so I do stay up with it, watch the markets, and try to figure out what's going to be the next move for the marketplace, because we turned out better last year than we thought we would, and so I think maybe we'll have another interesting price year as we get ready to plant for 2021.
So I guess those thoughts are never going to go away. You're always going to be looking at the news and the numbers and the weather and those type of things. That's something that's just kind of born in you, isn't it?
It is. Well, I think it is for you too, for anybody that covers the news, because the news is always different, always fascinating. And talking about growing up in Wisconsin and the temperature in the wintertime, I've been often asked, what is the coldest temperature you have ever seen in your career? And I can't give you the date, but I can give you the month. It was January of 1940 when we woke up on the dairy farm and the mercury had disappeared in the thermometer, but it was 63 degrees below zero, and
wow.
I've remembered that morning ever since it happened.
And that's before we were measuring wind chills, too, I think, so no telling what it would have felt like. So was that one of the things, as far as, you know, growing up on a dairy farm, you end up on the broadcast side of things, was that one of those incentives to get out of working on the farm? It's just like, hey, how can I stay involved in agriculture but not have to be out in 63 degree below zero weather working?
Well, that was part of it, because I had to walk a mile to school. I went to a one-room, eighth-grade country school up in Ontario, Wisconsin, and it was a mile from the farm. And so when it got really cold, my dad would hitch the team up to the sled and would take me the mile to get to the class. And I thought, you know, there must be an easier way to make a living, and I decided instead of farming, I would talk about it. And so that led to the career that I've enjoyed immensely ever since.
Well, and you got your start. You worked at several markets in Wisconsin, and at a pretty young age, you ended up in a major market in Chicago at WGN. And as they say, the rest is history. Was it a case back then? Were you looking to move up, or did they come to you? Were they searching for you?
Interestingly enough, surprised me, they came to me, the manager of the radio TV station in Green Bay, Wisconsin, where I was working, had a farm director, and he believed in doing agricultural reporting because of the importance it had in small towns and in big towns. And so his farm director, by the name of Norm Kraft, resigned on the air and walked out. And so Ward Quall, who was the general manager of WGN Radio, did not want to give up the service to agriculture because he said a Clear Channel radio station, a 50,000-watter like WGN, had an obligation to provide information for farmers far beyond the audience in Chicago. And so somebody in an advertising agency in Chicago told him about this young guy, Orion Samuelson, at Chicago, and so he came calling and said, I have to continue the coverage for agriculture across the country, and so can I talk to you? And I thought, I'm not gonna go to a big city because I'm a farm kid. And but he made it so attractive that it was easier to talk about farming than to actually do it. And so I ended up on the 50,000-watt Clear Channel station.
Well, I think that shows how important this, what you did, and what, as it continues with Max Armstrong and all the other agribusiness news that's out there, how important it is that a station in Chicago, Illinois, that, you know, that obviously covers way more than Chicago, as you said, a Clear Channel 50,000 watt, but how important this type of news is in everyday life of, I think, more than what other people realize that don't pay attention to it.
Well, I agree with you because, I have gotten 64 pages of emails of line or two lines or whatever, and many of them come from people in Chicago who will often comment, as a kid growing up in the city, I didn't know about farming, but I found myself listening to you and found it interesting. And so I write notes back to them saying, farming is important to you as it is to me because where do we get our food? If farmers and ranchers didn't produce food, we wouldn't find it in the supermarket. So I've tried to write back to some of those people, although I've told on the air the folks who wrote so many emails and letters that I wouldn't be able to answer all of those letters personally, but that I have read every one that I've received and every email that I've received. And it's been interesting how many became agricultural people because I talked about farming. I talked about producing food, and as you do. And it's interesting that maybe I changed a few minds and maybe got people interested. The one they mentioned the most often is, I got the price of frozen pork bellies every day because of you, but I didn't know what a frozen pork belly was.
Orion Samuelson, our guest this morning, longtime farm broadcaster, 60 years worth, and of course, for years and years and years here on WGIL, first thing, you know, we get in here on the air at 5 o'clock and open up. We have the news and the weather, and then there was the National Farm Report. So it's not the same now, obviously. And, of course, we still have some a lot of information from RFD and Max Armstrong and whatnot. But it's a lot different not having your voice on, Orion. You know, I know during your career you probably never thought about the longevity, but the fact when I saw that, like, the only person that we're aware of that spent a longer broadcast career than you was Vin Scully. Has something like that even sunk in with you, or have you even thought about that?
Well, the reason it has with Vin Scully is when I was inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame, he was also inducted. So that's the first time I met Vin Scully. He came into Chicago for the broadcast and the honor program. And so I got to talk to Vince, and I didn't know until then that he was the only broadcaster who'd been at the business longer than me, and he was a delightful guy, and I think he's still doing some Los Angeles Dodgers games and things like that. But I've had the opportunity to meet so many great people, and certainly Vince was one of them. I did not have a goal to out-broadcast him, but I guess it happened, and here we are.
Well, and you talked about meeting people, and thinking back, a kid from a dairy farm in Wisconsin, you've met presidents and prime ministers, world leaders, you've been to the Taj Mahal, you've Russia, Cuba, Fidel Castro. I mean, it's pretty, I mean, how about things like that at the time when you're there and you're shaking Mikhail Gorbachev's hand or you're at the Taj Mahal, does it sink in then? Or is this things that's, okay, this is part of my job, and now that I'm retired, it's like, wow, I really got to do a lot of pretty impressive things in my career.
Well, I did, and it was one of the great things that happened because I was invited to come to work at WGN because the radio station had a reputation to provide interesting stories. And, yeah, I shook hands with Mikhail Gorbachev and Fidel Castro, went to the 4th of July celebration of the Independence Day for India, sat on the reviewing stand with the Prime Minister of India and watched the parade, the military parade that took place in front of me, the cavalry, which was made up of soldiers on camels, not on horses. And it was just so many fascinating opportunities to go and actually see the places that I had read about in the encyclopedia while going to the one-room eighth-grade country school in Wisconsin.
Orion Samuelson, our guest this morning, and you've met or interviewed every president since Dwight D. Eisenhower, and including even before you got to meet Harry Truman a little bit later. Pretty impressive there. Of course, secretaries of agriculture, of course, one of them who's local to us here that we've gotten to talk to, and John Block. I know you got a chance to become friendly with him as well.
Well, I knew John while he was director of agriculture in Illinois, and I would see him at many meetings, and we became good friends. As a matter of fact, we, except for this year with the COVID-19 situation, always had a Christmas dinner in Washington, D.C. We weren't able to do that this past year because of COVID, but we stay in touch and we talk, and of course, John, since moving out of the political world, also has been a broadcaster talking about and sharing his opinions with some of the things that are happening in agriculture. So John's a good friend. I'm often asked, who's your favorite secretary? And I learned a long time ago, don't answer that question. So I just say all of them because, you know, Earl Butz was probably the first secretary that I became good friends with, and with John Block, Mike Johanns, I could go on and on and on, but every secretary had their different approaches to the job, and it's interesting with Tom Vilsack, he is the first secretary in my career that has gotten another opportunity to serve in that position, so it'll be interesting to see what changes he'll make, if any. And that's part of the reason I keep an eye on what's going on agriculturally and economically, because it affects your life, it affects my life, and you always have to keep an eye on it to see what they're doing.
Absolutely. Orion Samuelson, our guest. Boy, we could go, I mean, I could ask you questions for hours and hours. I know we don't have a lot of time left. One of the things, it wasn't all about just the ag. You, at one time, hosted a show for quite some time called the National Barn Dance that went on for, what, 40-some years you did that?
Not quite.
Or not quite that long. I'm thinking the noon show. I guess the National Barn Dance was prior to that, though. Yeah.
Well, it was at about the same time because one of the reasons I ended up in Chicago, WLS Chicago was the Prairie Farmers Station, and they were the ag station. And then one day, the farm director resigned on the air and walked away, and that opened up the doors for me to make the move to the market. And I probably would still be milking cows in Wisconsin had that not happened, because that opened the doors to a totally different world and a fascinating world for the people who produce food and get it to your dinner plate and to my dinner plate.
Well, and you know, when we hear the reports and everything, it's all fairly serious. But you've had a lot of fun in your career as well. Tell me about this, the Oofda Band.
Say again?
The Oofda Band. You had a deep.
Oh, Lino Frigo and the Musical Wheels.
Yes.
I lost track of the number of county fairs, state fairs, farm progress shows, and other events where we would do live broadcasts. The noon show at 12, we'd do an hour, and we'd interview the people involved in the event, farm progress show and that, but we'd also feature music, live music. And when I arrived at WGN, we had a live band on Country Fair every day at noon, and worked with Captain Stubby and the Buccaneers, worked with Lino Frigo and the Musical Wheels, and of course worked with all of the barn dance people, because when I grew up on the farm, WLS was the radio station I listened to and we listened to, and so I had listened to the barn dance for years. And suddenly, here I am working with all these people, Dolph Hewitt and Bob Atcher and Red Blanchard and all of those people who provided the live music on our noon show broadcast when we'd go to county fairs, state fairs. By the way, I have to share this with you. I'm so tired of the word virtual.
Oh, yeah.
It's necessary because of the situation we're in. But I'm tired of the word virtual, and I really missed that this past year because of the cancellation and some virtual presentations by the Farm Progress Show and Commodity Classic and county fairs and state fairs. And so I hope we get back to holding those events this coming summer, so I don't have to say virtual anymore.
Absolutely. One more question, Orion. So all these years getting up so early, you talked about it, you finally get a chance to sleep in. Have you actually been able to do it? Is your body clock still waking you up at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Nope, my body clock does not wake me up, because when I am tired and ready to go to sleep, I'm able to go to sleep. And no, I have not been waking up at 2:45 automatically, because I can sleep through it now and don't have to be concerned about it. Except I have to get up and be awake for people like you.
I'm sorry.
No.
Well, Orion, thank you so much for taking time with us this morning, and thank you for your career, keeping our listeners informed for years and years, and listeners all over the country informed. We all enjoyed listening to you, and really appreciate all you've done for not only agriculture but the world of radio as well.
Well, thank you, and thank you for carrying my National Farm Report on your station for years. I appreciate that very much, because without stations like yours, I would have a smaller world.
All right. Orion, thank you again. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Okay, you too.